resist the culture of busyness. How are you? What's been going on? Oh, I'm busy. 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 What does that mean? To me, it means that you're in over your head. Perhaps you're projecting importance because our society values activity. Busy, I got things to do. I'm busy. Resist this culture. And then, here's the second part of it, be unapologetic about it.
Mindfulness Outreach Initiative is a nonprofit insight meditation organization located in Omaha, Nebraska. We provide meditation instruction based on ethics, compassion, and wisdom, as well as social outreach programs based on transformation and healing. To join the MOI community or to practice generosity, please visit our website at mindfulnessoutreachinitiative.org.
Welcome. I want to thank everyone. We all want to thank everyone for participating in the Heartland Hope Mission food drive and clothing drive. We donated over $308.68 to the Heartland Hope Mission. Over 52 pounds of food, 9 sweaters, 2 coats, and a bag of hygiene products. So it's really sweet. And thank you all for participating. It really, truly means a lot. Jonathan and I got a tour of the facility, and they were just most gracious. Perhaps there might be some more opportunities to work with them in the future. So thank you for that. What else? Retreats coming up. So if that is something, quite a few people have signed up, Jonathan. Yes? Mm-hmm. And then I'd just like to share, I don't think it's up on the MOI website yet, but I'll put a link to my website. We have a Zoom meditation workshop that's happening January 29th, I think from 9 to 10:45. And so it'll be exploring 4 postures. So we know this posture, but we're going to explore 3 other, they call them life postures. It's through Zoom, so it's easier to do kind of in the comfort of your home because we'll be moving around. So I'd love to have you if you can join us. So those were our announcements. Let's start by settling in with a meditation. Go ahead and settle in at home, settle in here. And just take a deeper breath. We'll signal the bell 1 time and then 3 at the end. The invitation to close your eyes or lower your gaze. Perhaps a couple of deeper belly breaths to really settle into your seat. And as we take that breath, even a further invitation to just let everything that happened today fall away. Becoming aware of our physical posture, our seat in our chair or our cushion. Maybe we're connecting with the heaviness of the feet on the ground. And just settling in. And then that question that we often ask, how are we right now? Not how have we been earlier today, or earlier this week, or in general, but how are we right now? Noting that that will change. Maybe even leaning into welcoming that that will change. We're going to do a little something different. We're going to do a little breath work and a little posture work. So we're going to take a series of 12 breaths And we're going to do this at the belly. I invite you, if you'd like, to take your hand and place it over your belly. So we're going to breathe in, and when we breathe out, we're really going to concentrate at the belly. And so we're going to be pulling kind of the out-breath, our belly towards the spine. And we want to do this really easy. We want to be easeful and gentle, not too much efforting. So not too shallow and not too deep, so kind of a medium level. So we're going to do that 12 times. You've probably already started. And you may notice on the exhalation that it could be choppy as you pull your belly back a little bit further towards the spine. Taking note if we've become more tense in other areas like our jaw. So oftentimes we spend a lot of our awareness chest up through the top of the skull. So we're changing our awareness, bringing it into our lower belly. We'll take a breath together, and as we expel that last breath, try to get all of the air out and pause for just 1 or 2 seconds before coming back to regular breath. And then just pausing and noticing. It's a very subtle energy, but you've shifted the energy from perhaps talking or thinking down to your belly. We've shifted awareness. We're going to do that one more time, 12 breaths, and if you finish before me, just do a couple extra. Just practicing and noticing, wow, I've never done anything like this. It's different. It might feel weird or uncomfortable. So begin again. Nice and slow. We don't often pay attention to our breath throughout our day. This can also be seen as a practice of concentration. The normal focal points always seems to be the nostrils. Nothing wrong with that. But here we're shifting our awareness lower. And it can also add to stability. Groundedness. Couple more and then we'll take one together. And even if this is difficult, just concentrating the breath on the belly is good enough. Okay, and before we come together on an in-breath, the out-breath, we will let go of all the air. And if you noticed last time, just when you think that you've gotten all the air out, you can push a little bit more, but don't do this to the point of discomfort. And then if you can, I invite you to pause just 1 or 2 seconds before coming back into normal breathing. So getting ready to inhale and exhale. Letting go of all technique and just sitting in awareness. Awareness of the energy you just created with your own breath. Next, we'll shift our awareness to our posture into the back line. Drawing a line from our tailbone, if we could, up to the base of our skull. Perhaps even noting that and doing that with your mind, your posture may have shifted. You may have become a little more upright. An attentive posture is an attentive mind, an attentive meditation. And so just returning to that invisible line through the central channel of your spine. And just ever so leaning back into that back line. I notice that it helps my posture. I even feel it on my sit bones, a little tipping back. And you may notice that it even feels more supportive. I do this in longer meditations because I tend to lean forward and slump a little bit more. And as you lean into the back line, I invite you to just think about the space behind you. There's a whole new level of awareness, not just forward, but a space behind us and above us and below us, but really just focusing right now on the back line and the space behind us. There's another phenomena that happens when we're in the back line is that it's hard for the mind to think when we're in the back line. So So I invite you beyond now to test that out. And we'll spend the next couple of minutes in backline, in awareness. Awareness of the present moment. Thank you for that. Well, welcome again. For those of you that I haven't met, my name is Anne. It's good to see new friends and old. Tonight, we're going to be talking about a few things. We're going to be talking about the winter, which, if you're in Nebraska, you might not know it's winter. Although if you're in Nebraska, you definitely know that it's winter at the same time. And we're going to be talking about reflection and contemplation and really hitting the pause button. And I've also brought some poetry. One of my favorite things is poetry, so I'm going to share a few poems with you guys today. It's important to talk about contemplation. I do it a lot, but it's one of the wisdom tools that the Buddha taught. The three wisdom tools being hearing. And so he's really talking about the Dharma and the teachings. So we listen to it. So we come here. Sometimes we share a sutta. We definitely share the language, ideas, and concepts. So hearing it is the first thing. And then the second thing is the contemplation of it, the steeping in it, right? The rereading, the rehashing. Perhaps it's looking up a word. It's really taking time with it. Looking up a word that you don't understand, or maybe that you understand, but you're like, does anybody ever do that? Like, I'm going to go look up that word. And we get a new, fresh look on it. And I did that a little bit. I think it was my high school English teacher. They were always like, start your essays off with a definition. So I think that's kind of where I get it. But A lot of what I'm going to talk about tonight is reflection. One of the definitions is serious thought or consideration. To me, that's very similar to contemplation. It's that deep seeping, that really deep connection. And then I also looked at pause, and it's a temporary stop in action or in speech. To me, that really connects with winter. Show of hands, who loves winter? Who loves winter on the Zoom land? Show me a hand, either virtual or... Okay, thank you for that. Not quite half and half, but a lot of people didn't raise their hands. And I would imagine we could get into spending way too much time on why we don't like winter, right? We like to concentrate on the things that we don't like. But I'm imagining some people are social, some people don't like the cold. There could be a myriad of other things that we could do, but those are probably the top two. It stops you from doing things that you love. But the winter is really a gift, and it's especially a gift when we live where we can experience winter. People that live in California and Florida and southern, south of the equator, they have to find time for reflection and pausing and contemplating. They've got to schedule that in because it might just every day look like the other. And if they're not mindful and they don't have a practice, we know what that turns into. That turns into that busyness, that just going, going, going. And then we know where that leads us. Disconnected from ourselves and for others and our soul's purpose. So thinking about winter and the gift that it gives us. So for those of us that raise their hands, they're thinking, yeah, maybe it is a gift. But those of us that didn't raise our hand, it's a harder sell because there's some sort of discomfort associated with that. We're really being asked in winter to test out our stability, test out our ability for discomfort, really. So we know discomfort well. We know it physically, we know it emotionally, we know it when things don't go the way they want them to go. I heard this the other day, expectations. Let me see if I can remember it. Expectations are premeditated disappointment. Anybody ever heard that before? I just heard that and I was like, oh, that's rich. Because I'm always like, oh, I had these expectations. Winter is this time. It's this built-in time for reflection, for pausing, for contemplating not only the Dharma, but really ourselves. You know, it's kind of serendipitous, I guess, or whatever, or just like, oh, sure, it's the beginning of January. It's the beginning of 2022. Sure, we should talk about this. But I'm not really talking about resolutions. Because resolutions are more action. So if any of you have ever made a resolution and not stuck to it, maybe it's because it's winter and we're supposed to be stopping and pausing and not doing. I will talk my way out of a paper bag, but I think that's pretty good, pretty rich. It's changing our way of looking at things, and that's all that mindfulness is. That's what the Buddha is asking us to do, is look at our conditioning. He gives us so many wise teachings of how we go about our day and re-examining them. Winter and resolutions, yeah, just food for thought. Instead of maybe coming up with something that we want to do, like what we should do, right? This collective mentality. Let's focus on our own thoughts, our own mentality. Do I need to eat better? Do I really need to go to the gym? I mean, those might be good things. They help us. But just looking at those resolutions And perhaps we need to reflect on our actions. Perhaps we need to reflect on our speech, our thinking, before we make a resolution, instead of just hopping on that wheel we talked about, that continuous wheel that we're always on of doing. Yeah, not confusing sedentariness or paralysis with becoming still and appreciative. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Not confusing sedentariness or paralysis with becoming still and appreciative. So winter, you know, stopping, chilling, napping too much, sloth and torpor. We're not talking about that. We're changing the lens. We're being reflective. We're still being mindful during winter. I promise poetry. So poetry is beautiful, and it fits right in with pause. Because if you are a fellow poet or an appreciation of literature, but it's specifically poetry, what it is it's the perspective of someone who's paused, who's stopped and noticed something. So as I read, they're very short, and I picked one that's very familiar, but also hopefully easy to catch just by hearing it. The first one is the most familiar, I would imagine, yeah, and it's Robert Frost, Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening, appropriate for the season. So I'm going to read that. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it's queer to stop without a farmhouse near, between the woods and frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there is some mistake. The only other sounds the sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep. So this poem, what has he done? This rider on the horse into town has stopped. Can you see it? Do you have your own vision of this beautiful snowy evening in the woods where the snow is falling and the wind? Did anybody hear the harness bell of the horse? This is a pause, a beautiful pause. How many pauses do we pass up? How many poems do we not write that we should have? So pausing. I wrote down words that resonate for me for winter and just this idea of contemplating in this type of season. It really is tapping into our essence, stillness. It's an application of sorts of mindfulness, of inner intuition, perhaps, acceptance, letting go, gratitude. Whenever we take the chance to stop, even in winter, we can be grateful for something, but only if we slow down. It's also time to integrate the wisdom, the lessons. If we're going to go for this kind of circular or linear timeline, it's a time to integrate perhaps pain, emotional pain, change that's always happening. You know, we can't do that without taking the time. Healing takes so many forms, but if we don't recognize it and feel it, we can't metabolize it. Sleeping, it is a good time. We had the winter solstice. I already notice that like 5:30, it's still light out. And that makes me happy. And I like winter, but I like that light. But it also is a signal to me that this time for reflection and contemplation and pausing and self-care, self-awareness is limited. And if I use my time wisely, we are all gifted with spring, and we can fully come back together to be in community, to be outside, whatever we love to do, if we've tended our garden. Another poem, Burning the Old Year. So it speaks to this transformation, perhaps, that we go through. Letters swallow themselves in seconds. Notes, friends tied to a doorknob. Transparent scarlet paper sizzle like moth wings, merry into the air. So much of any year is flammable. Lists of vegetables, partial poems, orange swirling flame of days. So little is a stone. Where there was something and suddenly isn't. An absence shouts, celebrates, leaves a space. I begin again with the smallest numbers. Quick dance, shuffle of losses and leaves. Only the things I didn't do crackle after the blazing dies. Only the things I didn't do crackle after the blazing dies. So beautiful. It's by Naomi Shihab Nye. But it's not all winter, dark. The dark is also our shadows. If we play into that, the light, we can't have the light. We can't go into the light without examining perhaps some shadow stuff. But it's not just that. Another quick poem by Billy Collins called Winter. A little heat in the iron radiator, the dog breathing at the foot of the bed, and the windows shut tight, encrusted with hexagons of frost. I can barely hear the geese complaining in the vast sky, flying over the living and the dead, schools and prisons, and the whitened fields. Just another example of pausing, of taking a moment. When we don't like this, when the discomfort comes, oftentimes we default to our old conditioning, whatever, and we begin thinking and we begin doing. Think back to our beginning meditation. Perhaps I gave you a new way to ground yourself. One of my mottos is to mix it up. I think when we mix things up, we keep it fresh. So just by changing our breath from our nostril to our belly, gives us a different awareness of how we're feeling. Our connection can ground us a little bit more. And then the back line is just play with that if you haven't. It's a deeper dive into what it is to sit and meditate. We're never trying to shut off the mind. I don't want someone to think that, right? We just want to be okay with what comes up and realize that it's impermanent. We don't go to meditate to have absent of thought, but there's a lot of wisdom in understanding how we can shift subtly our postures and our concentration to other areas. So pausing also, just for all the practical people out there, it's really important. And perhaps this is my attempt at a joke, but last Monday I was walking the dog and I did something different. So when we left the house, I shut the door and I realized immediately I didn't have my keys. I could have walked and went, but I said, let's just double check, because I'm gonna still go for a walk. And the whole time that I walk, I'm going to be like, is it locked or is it not? So sure enough, I checked it real quick. It was locked. I'm like, yeah. Oh, the garage door is open, but I locked the double doors inside. Let's just go for a walk. Now, a week ago, it was not this temperature. So it was chilly, but it wasn't like as bad. So it was like teens or something like that. Nothing that I want to take my four-legged for a really long walk. So anyway, I'm like, let's go for the walk. And so I'm walking and enjoying the crisp winter air, trying to soften into it. You know, I think it was a bright sun, so it balanced it out. And I was like, man, I'm going to have to karate kick those double doors in. That's the only way I'm going to get in. Oh, you know, I hit a key once, but I hit it in a grill, and then I put the grill on the side of the road, and that went away. Luckily, that's been years. They never came back and robbed us or anything. So I got that. So I'm like, and oh, I did put another key under a pot, but it was like a rotted tree trunk, so I'm not going to be able to. I've looked for that 2-3 times. I'm not going to find it today. Another couple of blocks, and I'm like, God, I'm really going to have to karate kick. Oh, that's money. You know, they're older doors. It's just a little thing. I'm rounding back all of my time, my pausing, my thinking. Doing this really, it's mindfulness really has its place. Meditation has its practice because I'm really pretty chill. And I get to my street, and Gus has no idea what's going on. And I'm like, oh, I think the bathroom door is open, or the bathroom window is open. And the garage door is open, and I could get the ladder. And so I was just beside myself with pleasure and just like, I don't have to karate kick. It won't cost any money. So I put Gus in the backyard, and I go in, and I get my ladder. And it's higher. It's not low like this. So I'm like, finagling, my neighbor is saying goodbye to their weekend guest, and I'm like, I locked myself out. Also thinking, need to give her a key, which I still haven't done, but I'm going to spread a couple of keys out in the neighborhood. So I get the ladder up, and I'm like, oh, I can't go foot in. That's a little too risky, and it's a little icy and snowy. Anyway, I supermanned it. I get in and I'm like, yes. And as I'm coming around the front door, my neighbor who said goodbye to her neighbor is like peeking around. And she's like, I saw the ladder and no person. So I figured you're okay. And I'm like, yes, I did it. And I was so resourceful. And what I do want to say is, wow, bruises come out really quick sometimes. The next morning, and I have bruises right here where I came in on the window sill, but boy, I didn't feel them at the time. My point is, so you laughed a little. I don't want to be all dark during winter, but how many different ways could have I reacted? You know, going back to that theme of the pause and reflection, and how many ways can we cut up this thorn or pull out this thorn? I walked for 15, 20 minutes. That allowed me to really pick the best solution. Like no karate kicking, no money out of my pocket. Get a key to your neighbor, Anne. That sort of thing. So pauses, this ability to slow down, to slow our mind down, to slow the conditioning, to slow down whatever it is. Winter is a beautiful time for that. We're mirroring nature. So a couple of things, like just kind of practical things. How do we slow down? I'm going to read one more poem real quick. This one is a fun one. Mary Oliver. Dear, dear Mary Oliver, called the storm. Now through the white orchard, my little dog romps, breaking the new snow with wild feet. Running here, running there, excited. Hardly able to stop, he leaps, he spins until the white snow is written upon in large, exuberant letters. A long sentence expressing the pleasures of the body in this world. Oh, I could not have said it better myself. Right? So just that beauty, witnessing that, pausing. So how might we who challenge or challenge by slowing down, how might we do that practically? Making time for doing nothing. So if you're a scheduler, scheduling in breaks. There's a practical part of this. We can contemplate this. We can listen to this talk again via podcast, thanks to Kyle. But how do we remember to do this? This practice really is all about remembering. It's the essence of the Buddhist teaching is to remember. So take breaks. Look at your daily schedule. How are you going to fit that in? Here's my favorite. I talk about this a lot. Resist the culture of busyness. How are you? What's been going on? Oh, I'm busy. 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 What does that mean? To me, it means that you're in over your head. Perhaps you're projecting importance because our society values activity. Busy, I got things to do. I'm busy. Resist this culture. And then, here's the second part of it, be unapologetic about it. Anytime we need to slow down or, oh, I took a nap, or there's this somatic, this subtle feeling of like, oh, I did something for myself. I wasn't being a go-getter 24/7. We apologize, whether we were doing it verbally or through our posture and our body language. So practice that. Practice it's okay. And during winter time, it is okay. It's more accepted. So not as a sign of laziness, but as really, I love this, as an important skill. The people who know how to take care of themselves, who listen when they've gone beyond, that's a skill. Because we know what happens when we get on the busy wheel. The wheels fall off at some point. Every single time. And then choosing or being okay with the discomfort when you slow down. Not being okay, I'm in the house today, cleaning. How many ways can we, I love a clean house. Sweeping is a mindful activity. It really is. But come on. I said I could talk myself out of a paperback. Leaning into that discomfort. There are so many things that cause us discomfort. This is probably one of the most important things of building capacity for discomfort is sitting in meditation. But there's so many more ways to do that than just on the cushion. Can we lay on the couch? And what I do, I love to do, is I love to look out the window. Yeah. It's different than looking at the TV or the computer screen. It's a connection to nature. It's a connection to outside. It brings me to the moment. But you need to build capacity for that. And if you find yourself being busy, keeping yourself busy, just remembering and pausing and just like a muscle, practicing being with that discomfort. But you have to choose that. I love there's some quote that's like, growth is uncomfortable. So basically what that says to me, you're doing something right. If it's uncomfortable, you're changing your conditioning. You're changing the way you think about things. So keep that in mind. Manage your expectations. We already talked about that. This is a little different. Everything takes practice. Don't be discouraged. some days you're going to be able to do nothing better than other days. It's all about staying on the path and getting back on it once we notice we're out. And then, reorganizing your environment, mixing it up, maybe putting a chair next to the window. A lot of people work from home right now or have the ability to work from home for some part of the week. Are you in a room with the blinds closed in a corner that faces a wall? One of my favorite things that I like to tell people is to take breaks and look out the window and breathe. Connect with the outside. There are so many different ways you can do this, right? But just inviting you of different ways that you can change your environment. Put your phone somewhere. I like to do that. My phone is always charging, and it's not next to me, always. And I still get back pretty timely. So just thinking about that, reflecting on the ways that you can connect with yourself and to others. So that's the practicality of slowing down, of easing into winter. And I think I'm going to leave it there tonight. We do have a couple of minutes. If anyone would like to share any comments or ask any questions, if anything came up, I'll leave that open for a moment. Yes, Jonathan is asking if I have anything that's helped me slow down. That's a great question. Yes, being purposeful in my actions. I'm a planner, so beginning the day with meditation, coming back to the breath throughout the day, that's something that I do, taking deeper breaths. Really listening to myself and my body, especially with working throughout the day when we're in our zone and there's multiple things. And I've found out through my own self-awareness that sometimes that feeds me. So I'm like, okay, what's next? And so by just realizing my personality and how I do things, one of the things I've been doing lately is really, you know, we talk about most of our work is off the cushion. And so between activities, I like to mentally say, okay, I'm getting up for a break now. So I have this like inner dialogue with myself. All right, I'm getting up and I'm going to do the dishes right now. I'm going to walk outside and I, you know, I'm not doing this out loud, but you know, it's almost like training wheels, like, I'm getting ready to walk in MOI. I'm walking up the steps. It feels cold. Like just constantly kind of checking in with myself. I don't do this to the point to where I drive myself mad, but it's just always bringing my awareness back to what I'm doing. I'm trying to think what else. It's such a great question. I'm sure I'll think of something genius when I'm driving home tonight. I'll be like, oh, I should have said that. Is there anything that anybody else does to slow themselves down? How would you answer that question? Anybody have anything? Ilona.
Over the course of being with MOI and realizing then once I stop, now I'm feeling the body, I realized I'm very much, you know, was very much in my head and even external of my body that... being aware of it, yes, but also making that connection and just physically, you know, touching my thighs or just kind of like grounding and being with the area from my collarbones downwards versus up here, but flighty and away, so much so that I'm not grounded. So that touch and feeling my feet or anchoring my feet down into the earth or whatever I'm, you know, sitting now, my sit bones, and just really solidifying that helps me to slow down.
Yeah, that's such a lovely offering. Thank you. You know, thank you. Yeah. We have so many nerves up here. And so anytime that we can bring our awareness down to our feet, down to our belly. Well, thank you for that. Sound is also something. This grounding brings you to the moment. But really, the answer to that question is just remembering. Remembering is the essence of this practice. And so there's so many ways that we can come back to it. I'd like to dedicate the merit of this practice, of this conversation, of this sharing for the benefit of all, in all directions, without exceptions. May you all be well.
Thank you for listening. We know your time is valuable, so we are grateful you choose to spend it with the MOI community. This podcast is supported by listeners like you. To make an offering, please visit us at mindfulnessoutreachinitiative.org. And tune in each week for more Dharma talks, reflections, and teachings centered in the insight meditation tradition.